Healy, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. You can always stream episodes at huntleyradio.com. Cabaret is a Tony-winning Candor and Ebb musical now playing in a glorious revival at Porchlight Music Theater in downtown Chicago. It is a dark and twisted musical filled with wondrous characters and breathtaking music and dance. The star of the Porchlight production is Erica Steffen. I recently had the opportunity to see the Porchlight production, and I was absolutely blown away by Miss Steffen. She gives one of the best performances I have ever seen in musical theater. I am thrilled to have Erica Steffen joining us today to discuss her role as Sally Bowles and give us a look into some of the other attributes of her career. Well, welcome to the show, Erica. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for that nice intro.
Oh, of course, of course. Now, this is just a wondrous part in a wondrous show. So let's talk about how long you had to prepare. At what point did you become attached to this production?
Yeah, so the auditions for this popped up in July. This past summer, and this has always been a dream role for me. So when those auditions came through my email, I jumped on that quickly and started geeking out over the sides and really trying to delve into that. I have auditioned for the show before. I've seen the show. I was in the show in summer stock, but played another role. And so I've always been a fan. So when those popped up, I really tried to go hard for it. So then I knew about the production beginning of August. And so I had some time on my own to prepare. There's so much source material for this particular piece that, I mean, you have so many things to pull from: books, movies, plays. I only scratched the surface, and I feel like I did a good chunk of research. So that's a gold mine for an actor. So I had some time to prep on my own, but then we started rehearsals on December 19th and had our first audience on January 14th.
So this is there's a lot of backstory to this interpretation, this vision for this show. So at what point was that all shared with you so that you could use that in developing this wonderful character that you developed?
So I kind of got a bit of insight at the callbacks, because Michael Weber, our director, really made it clear that he wanted this to be a more individualistic approach. The character of Sally is so iconic. I mean, everyone immediately thinks of Liza, as they should. She's unbelievable. But he encouraged us to make it our own and almost disassociate from what we knew Cabaret was. So at the callback, I thought to myself, oh, wow, I think this is going to be a special version, because he was very much encouraging the actors in the room to just bring our own self to it. And then we kind of, the week before rehearsals, we met, me and Gilbert, who's playing Cliff, met with Brenda, the choreographer, and Michael, the director, and they kind of gave us some insight into the ideas that they had for the numbers and the angles that they were trying to tell the story through. And that was a super exciting day.
So, okay, let's talk about that day, because that sounds really exciting from just the perspective of how did this show come into being? Because it's an amazing show. Yeah. You do this amazing performance. How did it happen? So what were those insights on that day, that really exciting day, that changed how you were preparing, that made this character kind of gel?
Yeah, one of the biggest things, the mindset and the lens that it was told through. I'm a huge fan of the 88 version, because Natasha Richardson is, I thought her Sally was just impeccable. And so that's the one I've listened to, and it's kind of ingrained in my head. But it's also the Alan Cumming version. Mm-hmm. And that MC is pretty omnipresent throughout the entire show. And something that Michael really stressed to us that day, he was saying that he wanted it to be a play, that the book scenes should stand out as a play, and that the Kit Kat numbers were the Kit Kat numbers. Instead of it kind of being a crazy blend of both worlds, right. He really wanted to differentiate. And it feels that way in the show. When we're doing it, I feel like I'm doing a play and then getting to take a break and do musical numbers, which is super special. So him making that, distinguishing that on that day made it clear of like, oh, we really, this is going to be story centric and more about the characters as individuals, as opposed to kind of this blend of this underground world that the cabaret is. Another exciting element of that day was him saying the beginning lens of Cliff coming back to Berlin and getting completely transported back to when he was there in 29. So I don't think this spoils anything, but he comes back at the top of the show and it's the 50s. And so it's post-World War II, but he gets thrown back into the memory of being in Berlin for the first time in 1929. And he had us approach it as a memory piece. Mm-hmm. So we are all these memories that are coming out of Cliff's head. And that really helped me too, because I think Cliff would cling on to the good as much as he could, as we do with memories. I think a lot of us try to cling on to those things. So it helped me kind of form Sally from that perspective, which was super helpful.
Now, you talked about kind of having the dramatic scene separate than the song and dance scenes, yet the title song, Cabaret, at the end of the number is what just finally put me over the top that this was just an amazing acting job. Was you conveyed in that scene so much while you were doing that song. So it wasn't a total separation. It all came together at the end there. Was that part of what Michael pitched, or was that something that came about through the rehearsal process?
Yeah, that's something that number started forming at the callbacks for me, actually, because he wanted that to be, I love that you got that, yeah. Because that's the moment that he really wanted it to be, as Sally is looking in the mirror. She's looking, she is finally seeing herself for what she is for the first time. And it's almost all of her fears looking back at her and realizing what she's not, and what is happening around her, but still so hard trying to cling on to what she wants and doing it if it kills her. And she just keeps going even though she's confronting this. So that kind of, he brought that idea up in callbacks, and it's an emotional journey, but it was one that I was so excited to try, because the characters in the piece, they can't escape what's happening, and Sally can't escape what's happening. The world couldn't escape what was happening. So I think it's so such a smart choice at that moment on his part.
And now the choice was made to go with non-Fosse choreography, which, you know, some shows just live by it religiously, and other interpretations want to go their own way. And I love Brenda. I mean, she is just a wonderful choreographer. I just wondered, you've done the show before. Have both times been non-Fosse choreography? Have you done it in both varieties?
So last time they definitely pulled more from Fosse. Like, we did the chair number in Mine Hair. There was many more elements of Fosse-esque elements in the choreography. This one, I feel like Brenda totally put her own stamp on
it. It's Brenda.
And it's just each number is a story. It's so cool. I love the money number. Everything, you could watch any ensemble member on stage at any point in this show, and they are in their own show. It's so cool.
Okay. So this being unique choreography to this interpretation of Cabaret, did that help you in your interpretation of the character?
Yeah, I think it provided a lot of freedom. I think sometimes when you, certain iconic musicals, they're iconic for a reason, but it almost puts you in a box in a sense of you want to pay respects to what was done before, but you're working within the lines. Whereas if they take kind of the icon out of it, it allows so much more space for you to create your own. And I feel like in the room, Brenda and Michael were really encouraging me and the entire ensemble. We want to see individual stories through these numbers, not just a number. And I think that's super evident, especially, I mean, I'm mind blown by this ensemble. I could watch all of them for days. It's just the coolest thing. And they all made very specific character choices. And we had a day where everyone sat down and told each other their backstory, which was super helpful and informative. And I think it makes the show so much richer knowing that.
And the voices in this show. I mean, we all know that cabaret is a dance show. Yeah. But the harmonies are just, and I saw this on Broadway with Neil Patrick Harris, and it was the most amazing thing I'd seen until now. the harmonies in this production and just the musical direction in general, there's a lot of fun arrangements. What was that like? Were these presented to you? This is how we're going to do the songs? Or was it a collaborative evolution? How did that work?
It was so collaborative. There's multiple moments during the rehearsal process where Michael would see us doing something on stage and think to himself, oh, wait, can you actually go to our music director, Linda, and say, Linda, can you actually bring that part that you played at the end of Money and put it in at the end of this song? So there was a lot of cut and paste for themes. And I think, so it was super collaborative. The cabaret number, for example, Linda and I really, and Michael really had a conversation about that, because there's that break in the song before Sally kind of loses it. And that's not written in. The original piece provides opportunity for that, but just doesn't go as far as we wanted for that moment. So that required some reorchestrating and rethinking through the musical moments in the show.
And at one point the MC accompanies you on stage in a number. And yes. I just thought that was brilliant. It worked so well.
And I love that moment, because I think that moment's in Sally's head is her ideal number,
yes,
too. And so I love that he is such, I mean, he brought her into that world. He is the person who creates the numbers for the Kit Kat Club. He is the ringmaster of that world. So I love that he's there.
And I just love Josh's, Josh Walker?
Yeah, Josh Walker.
Josh Walker's interpretation. I mean, he's just, it's so eerie and sinister.
He's incredible.
Oh yeah.
He's also a music director in this world as well. So he is so skilled at the piano. So that's pretty amazing that he can use that skill in this show as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And that number, what number is that? That's
Maybe This Time.
Maybe This Time. It just establishes kind of this different connection between you and between Sally and the MC than in any of the other interactions. There's almost a tenderness there that isn't there in any of the other numbers.
Yeah, no, and I think too that it helps inform the end of why he's so disappointed when she goes off the rails.
Yeah.
'Cause she was he sought her out. He wanted her to be in that world with him, and it's not sustainable for her.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. Anytime that you want to stream a current or past episode of this show, just go to the It's Showtime with Ricky Lee page at huntleyradio.com. Erica Steffen is a triple threat actress currently starring as Sally Bowles in the musical Cabaret being presented by Porchlight Music Theater in Chicago. For ticket information, call the box office at 773-777-9884 or visit porchlightmusictheater.org. Now, Erica, I want to talk a little bit more about what you as an actress, what other roles you've done, what your process is, where we're going in the future. So, you know, this is a role that you made seem like it was written for you. But I got the perception that you could kind of make a lot of different roles seem like they were written for you. What do you look for when you're looking for a role?
What do I look for? I mean, I love diving into anything. I'm the biggest musical theater nerd. But I personally, the world that I nerd out about the most are historic musicals, and ones with a lot of meat to them. And so Cabaret, Ragtime, those types of shows that are so rich in history and have source material that you could pull from, really excite me, and that's why this has always been a dream role. How do I approach things? I appreciated Michael and his directorial in the way he directed this because of the individualistic approach that he encouraged. And I try to do that for myself. I try not to, when I get audition material, I familiarize myself, but I try not to replicate what I'm hearing. So that's something I always try to focus on, try to bring elements of myself to the characters. I love my job, and so I geek out all the
And now you mentioned Ragtime. I'm looking at your resume. I don't see Ragtime on there. Is that one of
No.
those dream productions, the bucket list?
Bucket list production. I would love to play Mother at some point. I think I'm a little too young still, but maybe in the next decade or so. That's a dream show, dream role. Anytime I'm having a bad day, I put on Ragtime and I just listen to it in entirety.
So what are some of your favorite roles that you have played?
Some favorite roles. That's a great question. I love children's theater. So I enjoy doing shows that are catered to kids. I've had a really fun time doing Mary Poppins. I've done that twice.
Okay, I could see that.
I enjoy working with children too, because they just bring such an element. They're such free thinkers and risk takers, and they don't have as many inhibitions as we do as adults. So they're so fun to learn from. So I enjoy that. My favorite shows. I loved doing Saturday Night Fever at Drury Lane. I know that it's not the best musical in the world, but it was a blast. It was a blast. I met like one of my dearest friends on that show, and he's a partner I love working with, and I had a blast because I felt like that was another one where the world was so specific that we all kind of got lost in it. It was really, really fun.
Sometimes the cheesy ones are the ones we love. I mean, one of my favorite bands is Poison. I mean, they're not good musicians, but they're fun. I love them.
Who doesn't like disco music? I mean,
Right.
every day you'd get to work and you get to jam to disco music. I mean, come on.
So you mentioned that you really love doing children's theater. You did Mary Poppins a couple of times. What are the other children's theater things that you've done?
So there I've done the kid show at Chicago Shakes a few
Oh,
summers.
okay.
That's been great. Little Mermaid was 1 year. Madagascar was another year. And it's just a fun contract to have because you're going to the pier in the summertime and performing for kids. One of my favorite companies that I worked for in St. Louis was called Variety Children's Theater, and they work with kids of all abilities. So one of the goals of their show is to have an inclusive musical. And so kids who are on wheelchairs, who have any ability, any child who maybe on paper wouldn't normally be taken in to audition for a musical, they are welcome at Variety, and it's just unbelievable the work that they do. So that was a really special show for me.
I recently saw a production of The Nutcracker, and it wasn't that great, but it turned out to be just lovely because they had some special needs kids in the cast, and it just giving them that opportunity. I ended up crying in the
That is
audience, and it was
unbelievable.
because it's just to the parents in the audience, it's like seeing your kid on Broadway.
Yes,
It's
yes.
just amazing. So that it's the fact that you appreciate that just puts you even higher in my book.
Oh, I just think it's incredible. I mean, I saw a show there. They're based in St. Louis, and I was in college, and at the end of Peter Pan, I saw this little girl who her name's Selah. Now that I met her years later, she was also in Mary Poppins, and
Oh.
she is in a wheelchair, and they flew her out of a wheelchair. So her parents haven't seen her walk, but they saw her fly, and it was
Wow.
unbelievable. So moments like that, I mean, you can't find that anywhere else. It was so neat.
Now, one of the things that actors have to make a choice about, especially in musical theater, is are they going to work around their home base or are they going to travel around the country? Mm-hmm. Do you focus your career around the Chicago area or do you, you've mentioned St. Louis and so forth. Do you yeah. have a home base or do you go where the work is?
So I'm open to going where the work is, but for my, my home base is Chicago. My family's here and that just comes first to me. I want to be where they are. And because I think it's kind of ideal as the actor, you are always hopping around from contract to contract. So to have roots somewhere was super important to me. So my husband and I live in the city, but my family's out in the suburbs and I love having this as a home base. But I am open to working wherever the work takes me. I love traveling. I love checking out new cities. I would love to work in New York at some point, but I don't see myself necessarily getting up and moving if it's not for work.
Right, right.
But, yeah.
And now what are some of the other dream roles? We mentioned Ragtime. What are some of the roles that you haven't played? I mean, like Sally Bowles, Kate just came along and you were ready for it. You know, you were ready. What are some of the other roles that, that you would do that kind of deep dive getting ready for to just nail the audition and boom, you got it?
I love Into the Woods. That's another top musical. I truly would do anyone in that show. But I think right now Cinderella is one that I don't want to age out of. I would love to play Cinderella before I'm too old. Another one is Dot in Sunday in the Park with George. That's a role that I would love to play as well.
And now, what about training? What kind of training did you do to develop your talents? Because, you know, as I saw in Cabaret, you can sing, you can dance, you can act. And not everyone prepares themselves that thoroughly in all areas. What was your preparation like? When did you start training? Tell me.
Yeah, so I started, I was kind of a late bloomer in the theater world compared to people I went to school with. I did ballet from age 4 through high school. And kind of, I love ballerinas. I think they're the ultimate athletes, but I have flat feet and I can't really kick above 90 degrees. So I knew that was not my calling. And I always like felt like I could sing, but never sang out loud until 8th grade and high school when I was auditioning. They did a musical for the first time at our school. And I was like, I gotta go in. We were doing Annie. And I remember I got cast as Grace. And my mom was like, Erica, this is so exciting, but do you know how to sing? And I was like, I think so. So then high school, I did all the musicals. And kind of junior year was when they were doing Aida and I was just gung-ho about playing Amneris and I wanted it so bad. So I started voice lessons with a woman named Mary, who is still my voice teacher. She's amazing.
Oh, wow.
Mary Laguerre. She's out in Hoffman Estates and she teaches out of Porchlight now on Mondays and Tuesdays in the city. And fun fact, her son is also in the show with me, her son,
oh,
Tim.
Oh, how cool. You know what? Have James put her in touch with me. We'll interview her and plug her her.
Okay, that'd be amazing. She's incredible. So I started voice lessons when I was a junior in high school. And that was the year that I auditioned for college programs. And I auditioned for 12 schools. I had no idea what I was doing or getting into. But I knew it solidified that year that I wanted to pursue this as a career. And so I went to Webster University in St. Louis. They have a conservatory for theater and went there for college. And then after school came to Chicago and I've been here ever since.
And so now you were from Chicago originally?
From the suburbs. My family's okay. In Glen Ellyn.
Okay. Okay. Wow. And so you went off to school, but then you came back. And now looking over your resume, it looks like you started with smaller roles and then started building. And now you're at this point where you're playing the leading roles. Has that been a gradual transition, or was there a point in that you had to say, you know, I'm only going to focus on these types of roles?
I've been really lucky here. I did make the choice early on to join the union. And I think that just because there's so many amazing non-union performers here, I know that does cut me out of some options for ensemble tracks, just because a lot of the theaters don't have a ton of union contracts. And so they have to save them for specific roles. So I think that it that helped me in a sense, because what I was going in for and the equity roles that I was going in for were more of the supporting and leading roles. But I'm so, again, such a nerd. I would do anything in any show. Backstage. I just love our line of work so much.
Now, do you have any advice for somebody who is thinking about, hey, you know, I'm at this crossroads. Maybe I should make this my career. Maybe I should, you know, where you were when you were in school, what's your advice to them? What will help them make that decision?
I think the biggest advice is to never, don't let yourself reach a threshold of thinking you've learned everything or that you've made it, just to keep taking classes. I more and more realize how much we are like athletes, and you just can't stop training. So make sure if you have breaks between shows, to get yourself in an acting class, get yourself in a dance class, like just keep singing every day in the car. The training should never stop. And I feel like then you have this potential to grow throughout a career. If you ever think you've reached a point that you're done growing or you're the actor you should be, I don't think that ever really happens. So just to keep learning and keep challenging yourself in training.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. If you'd like to stream this show or any other past episode, just go to the It's Showtime page at huntleyradio.com. Today, I've had the great pleasure of talking with the divine actress, Erica Steffen. Erica currently stars in a career-defining performance as Sally Bowles in Cabaret at Porchlight Music Theater in Chicago. It is a magnificent production. You don't want to miss Erica's amazing performance. For ticket information, call the Porchlight box office at 773-777-9884 or visit porchlightmusictheater.org. Erica, it has been an absolute pleasure, and we'll see you in the spotlight.
Thank you so
much. Spotlight.